Notice that? Put a pot on the fire. Now make soup. No in between. Go to the pantry and get the ingredients. That wasn't told to the servant. So what did the... And these gourds were poisonous. So Elisha's servant wasn't very wise. He wasn't a smart servant. He didn't know what a poisonous gourd was. And he didn't ask anybody about it. He just peeled them and shredded them and threw them in the pot. But he was obedient. He wasn't wise, but he was obedient. Okay? So then I noticed Elisha didn't discard the unwise servant's obedience. He used it. He told the servant, go get some flour. And he threw the flour into the pot. And whatever the makeup of the flour was, or whatever the miracle that happened, it made that stew good to eat. A few things out of that story spoke to me. One of them was, we all experience times of famine, times of lean living. We all have a need for leadership. We all have a need for community. We all have hands that will pitch in, and sometimes not wisely. But in the community of God, nothing's wasted. And the result of that, the result of the unwise servant's obedience, was a pot of stew that was edible in a time of famine with no food, and people were filled. That's the result of that. So, not a good time, not a good soup, not a good servant, and everybody was fed and satisfied. So it must not be about the time and the soup and the servant. It must be about the obedience and about the community and about leadership. And I'm not going to go any deeper than that, but I want that to sit with you as we go through the next ones. Genesis 25:29. One day when Jacob was cooking some soup, Esau arrived home from the wilderness, exhausted and hungry. Esau said to Jacob, I'm starved. Give me some of that red soup. This is how Esau got his other name, Edom, which means red. So when you read the Old Testament and you find the Edomites, those are the descendants of Esau. And it means red soup, not red people. Sorry. All right, Jacob replied, but trade me your rights as the firstborn son. Esau said, look, I'm dying of starvation. What good is my birthright to me now? But Jacob said, first you must swear that your birthright is mine. So Esau swore an oath, thereby selling all his rights as the firstborn to his brother Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and lentil soup. Esau ate the meal, then got up and left. He showed contempt for his rights as a firstborn. Okay, so again, we have some lack. We have an unwise person in here. We have a meal. And we have a different outcome. This man wasn't obedient. And he showed contempt. And contempt means this: disregard for something that should be valuable and treating it as being beneath consideration, worthless, or deserving scorn. That's contempt. He thought the blessing of his father was worthless and traded it for a bowl of soup. This is a warning to us to value the right things, to put value on the right things in our lives. We still have community, we still have lack, we still have provision, but we can make a choice that will cost us our inheritance. And we need to be careful to keep our inheritance. I find it wonderful that it used the word right, that he had a right to the inheritance, and it had to be actually transferred. And he actually, Jacob knew enough about the law to know how to transfer properly and made him do it, and he did it. We need to be careful with forfeiting our inheritance in the body of Christ. As we were worshiping God this morning, I really felt like the Lord wanted us to connect our human lives with his will for our life. Our life beyond the sanctuary, our life on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, in who we connect with, who we live with, who we work with, and how following Jesus works its way through those things. I really felt like the Lord wanted to lift us, to encourage us, and to show us a closer walk with him. And in that walk, it can mean that sometimes we are obedient but not too smart. It can mean sometimes there's lack and not enough provision, and we need to trust God to see provision come. It can mean a whole lot of things, but what it shouldn't ever mean is a trading or a giving up of our inheritance as the children of God. The Bible says that we are kings and priests with him, that he has given us the kingdom, and it gives him good pleasure to give us the kingdom of God. And so on earth, with all the things of earth, we can actually become earthly minded, taking care of earthly business. Where Jesus came to release us from that and has offered us eternal life, it happens to be unearthly eternal life. Okay, 2 Kings 4:42 says, one day a man from Baal Shalisha brought the man of God a sack of fresh grain and 20 loaves of barley bread made from the first grain of his harvest. Okay, so here's a man who's out working in this world, and he gets his paycheck, his harvest, and out of that harvest, he brings of the first to the house of God. He brings the first of it to the house of God, and he gives it to Elisha. Elisha says to him, give it to the people so they can eat. So it's still famine. It's still time of famine. Give it to the people so they can eat. What? His servant exclaimed. Feed 100 people with only this? But Elisha repeated, give it to the people so they can eat, for it is what the Lord said. This is what the Lord says. Everyone will eat, and there will even be some left over. And when they gave it to the people, there was plenty for all and some left over, just as the Lord had promised. Now, I find that awesome, because that was 550 years before Jesus. And that's very similar to another story I'm going to share when Jesus was here. So this man was a man with a heart of giving. He had labored in his field. He had grown the barley. He had harvested. Then he took it into his kitchen and he milled it and he made it into bread. And then he took all of that and he brought it to Elisha. So he had a giving heart. This man had a revelation, and I pray today that we get this one. The revelation is this: increase is from the Lord. As you increase, increase comes from the Lord. When you bring your gift to the house of God, from the increase that you've received, you are saying, I acknowledge this increase was from you. Here. I'm going to give back. And that's always how it happens. We never give God anything that he didn't give us first. I'm going to give back. So this man understood, increases from the Lord, I'm going to bring this. And he brought this to Elisha. Then Elisha goes, I'm going to get you to go a step further. But I worked, I labored, I planted, I harvested, I ground that barley, I made loaves of bread, I brought everything to you. Aren't I finished? No, go feed all those people. Well, the man's mouth said, it's impossible. He went, it's not enough. But this man remembered, Elisha said, the Lord has promised. Okay, if the Lord has promised, then I'll do it. So he went and he fed the people. And there was enough for everybody and some left over. So now the man who is a giver, who works hard every day, gains increase, acknowledges increase from God and brings his gift, also knows that the gift that's brought from the increase that God has given you is increased again at the house of God. He knows that now. That's another revelation. So if God has given increase, honor him by bringing the gift to the house of God. But know this, when you bring it, God will increase it again to the meeting of the needs. And then some left over. I really like the leftover stuff. You know, I've recognized something. I've recognized that my roundness of my tummy has gotten there because I have consumed more than my body needs. Which isn't a problem to my body, because my body doesn't mind consuming more than it needs. In fact, it rather enjoys it. But I've also recognized that in order to flatten my tummy, I have to consume less than my body needs. And my body doesn't like that at all. So I have something that is impacting my life negatively that I enjoy. And something that will correct that negative impact that I don't enjoy. That's also learned from the scriptures. That sometimes when we move too far in one direction, we need to pay the price to come back the other way. Okay, Mark chapter 6, 30 to 39. The apostles returned to Jesus from their ministry tour and told him all they had done and taught. Then Jesus said, "Let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while." He said this because there was so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles didn't even have time to eat. That's pretty busy. I don't know, I ate yesterday, and I'm fasting. So... I was just wondering if you caught that. Okay, so they didn't have time to eat, so they're going to run away and have some time. Jesus wanted to spend some time with his friends. So they left by boat for a quiet place where they could be alone. But many people recognized them and saw them leaving, and people from many towns ran ahead along the shore and got there ahead of them. Wow. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he said, "Get lost. We want some quiet time." That's what I would say. No, that's not what Jesus said. I think the Lord's teaching me something. I get to share it with you. because I think this is for me. But he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Late in the afternoon, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it is already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to nearby farms and villages and buy something to eat." And Jesus said, "You feed them." This is very similar to the other stories. You make soup, and it's a famine, and I don't have anything to make it with. Go collect poison gourds. Or the man who brought his barley loaves. You feed them. And here Jesus told his disciples, "You feed them." That impresses me, because those stories are separated by centuries. So the God of heaven is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when he got to earth as incarnate in a human body, he did the same things he did before. "You feed them." You know, the disciples, "With what?" they asked. "We'd have to work for months to earn enough money to buy food for all these people." "How much bread do you have?" he asked. "Then there's nothing." Then it says, "Go find out." So this is what they did. If there's no words, they looked at him and went, they did one of those. Because there's no words there. He says, like, "How much bread do you have?" "Nothing." "Go find out." So they must have given one of those. We don't know. So they came back and they reported, "We have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish." Now, why did they do that? There was hundreds and hundreds of people. How hard did they look? Now, let's discourage Jesus, and then he can send all the people away and we can have alone time. "There's only 5 loaves and 2 fish, Jesus. You feed them." Wow. Right? I know, we're human, right? And the disciples, they're characters. I mean, as you follow their stories, it's interesting, some of the things they pulled. Okay, how much? Okay, we got that. They came back, reported they had the loaves and the fish. Jesus told the disciples to have the people sit down in groups on the green grass. I want to point out one other thing. Jesus isn't doing anything. Okay? He's not doing anything. He's telling them, "You do it. How much do you have? You go sit the people down." The only thing Jesus does in this story is bless the food. And that's what God does always. He blesses our food. He blesses our work. He blesses the gifts that we come. That's what his job is. So Jesus wanted some alone time with his friends. People didn't respect Jesus' desire. Why didn't they respect it? Because they felt lost. That's why. When you have lost people, they don't care if you want alone time. They're lost and you're a person. Right? If you have lost people, they don't care what you're going through. They're lost and you're a person. They've been in a desert and haven't seen a person for a long time. They're not going to let you go. They're lost. This is important. Through compassion, he taught them that with a shepherd they would never be lost again. It says he taught them many things, but through that, what weaves through that is, you need a shepherd, lost sheep. That's what's weaved through teaching. We need a shepherd. Jesus said to his disciples, "You shepherd them." His disciples, who didn't recognize Jesus' bringing them into shepherding, could only see the physical time and money it would take to do the job that Jesus asked them to do. So their eyes were on physical time and money. We would have to work months to make up enough money to pay to feed all these people who are going to die of starvation before we can work up enough money to feed them. Don't you get it? And they're looking at the physical. I really believe Jesus is turning our eyes to him, to trust in him, to trust in his building of his church, which is us, our family, to trust that he is moving us, and to trust him for the work of shepherding, of gathering, of giving, of sharing. Trust him. Because if we calculate, my calculator is always too small. It doesn't add up. It just doesn't add up. But with God, it is possible, and I think that's what he's trying to teach us. With Jesus, trusting God is safe. The other thing is, after trusting God, after obedience, after stumbling, after being unwise, the provision comes. But after the provision, it says there's surplus. That's more than enough. I believe that's the path that God's bringing us. Because when we follow him, there's more than enough in a famine. See, so you don't get to escape the famine. You're going to be in the famine. You're going to see the famine, feel the famine. It's going to be in the famine. But he is more than enough. This translates to the gifts we bring to the church, financially, skill, talent, treasure, all that stuff. It also translates to the love we have for one another. We pray for one another, there for one another, help one another. That's where this giving comes in, that God has given us increase. We sow it back out, and he increases the increase. And I want to close here pretty quick. How long is a closing for a preacher anyway? Does anybody know? Wow, nobody knows. Okay, well. I guess I guess. Yeah. It is a mystery. There's many mysteries in the kingdom. Closing is one of them. Okay, I want to close with hope. Why should we share, give, set aside a tenth of our income, or even sacrificially give? Why? Why do that? Why give up our time, our strength? Why give up our stuff? Why? For what reason? I believe it's more to do with resurrection than with the blessing you receive because you're a giver. That's what I believe. I believe it has more to do with ascension than it has to do with the blessings that come to you because you are generous. In 1 Corinthians 15, 17 to 22, it says this: "And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless, and you are still guilty of your sins." It doesn't say, "And if Christ has not died on the cross." That's not what it says. It says, "If Christ died on the cross and wasn't raised, you're still guilty." It has a lot to do with ascension, where we're going. Okay? You are still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. Lost, no shepherd. So the shepherd had to be raised. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more than to be pitied than anyone in the world if our hope is only here. In Jesus, in his life, in his teaching, in his wisdom, in his sacrifice, and his death on a cross even, we're to be most pitied than anyone in the world. Wow, there's some very poor people in the world. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. See, we can't leave it there, right? Like, we could pause, but for effect. But the fact is, Christ has been risen from the dead. That's the fact. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun. When did the resurrection of the dead begin? Did it begin when Jesus rose from the dead? Yeah. Hallelujah. It has begun. Has begun, and you're part of it. You're in transit. Okay, has begun. Through another man. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life, eternal life. What separates the gospel of Jesus Christ from other faiths? This does. It's the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. And this doesn't mean his spirit went back to God. It doesn't mean that his spirit went into the ethereal. This means his physical body went to heaven. This is what this means. He is the firstborn. He is the beginning of the resurrection. There is a man, Christ Jesus, in heaven today. And when we die and they put our bodies in the ground, our spirits do go to God. But when God raises the dead, those bodies get raised. And our bodies will take on immortality, and we will be with Christ forever. And what a great day. Now that is why the giving and the sacrifice and the changing of your lifestyle to bless the community of God, so that what you bless the community of God with increases. So you've been given increase, you bring a part of what God gave you here. Then that part that you bring increases and blesses the community of God, and the community of God blesses others that come into the body of Christ, the local church. That's why we do it. That's why our eyes need to be set somewhere else than the physical. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough food. What's it worth to me, the kingdom of God? I'm going to die of starvation. Don't sell your inheritance. Give for the right reason. Don't give out of compulsion, the Bible says. Don't let anybody manipulate or force you into giving. Don't do it that way. Give because your eyes are on Christ and because he has given to you. Honor him with a gift, and he will increase that gift. There can be 1,000 gifts that were given wrongly, but yours, even if it's mixed with that, he will take out and he'll increase that part. And that is a great part of the kingdom of God that belongs to us. Don't sell it short. I just want to give a little scripture, John 20:17. This is Jesus after he rose from the dead. If you have ever doubted whether he was a spirit or a man, John 20:17 says this. Don't cling to me, Mary, Jesus said, for I haven't yet ascended to the Father. But go find my brothers and tell them, I am ascending. I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God. Okay? Mary Magdalene went and found Jesus, and she wouldn't let him go because she's lost without a shepherd. And she
was clinging to him pretty tightly, where he couldn't go to heaven. He's like, if you keep clinging to me, I won't ascend to heaven. Go get my brothers, because I'm going to my God and your God, Mary, to my father, Mary, and to your father, Mary, and to our father, and to our God. This is who we are. This is what we believe in our faith. And I believe that's what the Lord wanted the church to hear this morning. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to share this message with others, but please do not alter or change it in any way without express written consent from the Rock Christian Community.